Hey there, welcome back to the Northwest Audio Podcast, Midweek Formation, where we give some supplemental content to take your formation beyond Sunday morning. My name is Nick, I'm the community pastor here at Northwest, and I'm here with our youth pastor, Sam, and a very special guest, Ethan Vernhaber. Today we continue the conversation through the season of Lent, focusing in on the practice of fasting and abstinence. Well, welcome, Ethan.
Thank you. Welcome
to the podcast. Yeah, we're so glad to have you today. I'm super excited about this topic. One because I think it's just really beneficial and one of the most essential, like, and powerful practices of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But also just because it's like at the heart of Lent. I feel like, and I said this in the very first podcast on Lent, of just saying, you know, Lent started as just a fast. Like, it wasn't really much more than just a fast for 40 days to align ourselves with those 40 days leading up to Easter. And so, it's just kind of the center of it. And what I think is really beautiful about it, especially lining up with repentance, is that fasting comes down to the heart of this, like, self-denial. I was listening to something that was talking about the seven deadly sins, and it put gluttony as the first one. Mm. Basically describing how, like, our ability to control appetite, mm-hmm, leads to the ability to control everything else. Wow. Mm. And how, like, that links to, like, most other areas of sin in our life, of, like, if we can say no to food, we can say no to greed. We can say no to sexual desires. We can say no to all of these different things that tend to control the human spirit and the human flesh.
Yeah.
And so it's this act of self-denial, doing what we can do in order to allow the Spirit to do what we cannot do, allowing the Spirit to grow us in holiness, to change us, to move us forward in Christ's likeness, mm-hmm, as we kind of say no to these other things. And so it's fasting is just a very interesting experience, how that works, of just the bodily act then affecting your spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wanted to bring listeners, if you're wondering who Ethan is one of our board members. He is on our prayer team, and he is a man after God's own heart, 100% through. Amen. And through. I brought him on. He loves to fast, and he has lots of experience with it. And so I really wanted to bring him on to just talk about some of his own experience. So, yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what the fasting experience means for you and does for you.
Yeah. Well, just to give you some context, I was a late bloomer in Christ, and I didn't start with fasting. So I was a default believer for maybe 10 years or so, and then made the decision for Lordship and then started fasting maybe 5, 6, 7 years into the journey. And then for me, you know, fasting created some spiritual bench strength. Mm. So, if you have repentance, you'll have change 100% of the time. Yeah, yeah. So how can you actually change through fasting? And so for me, you know, I think the Lord leads us to obedience, and allowing Him to be God of what comes into my body was a really, really big deal. Yeah. So I didn't start with 40 days, you know. Yeah. I think I started with like 3 days.
That would be crazy.
But yeah. And you can fast from different things as well. And each year the Lord speaks to me differently. And sometimes it's 21 days and 18 days or all 40 days or this year, 52 days. So, you know, being able to listen to the Holy Spirit and how are you leading, how are you prompting this year of your life is a big deal. To me, I am a pleasure seeker by nature. Mm-hmm. I think our three great downfalls are pride, pleasure, and power. Mm. And my own is pleasure and through food. So to make myself, my body, obedient to my spirit man, really allows my spirit man to become stronger.
Yeah.
And then my spirit man can make more decisions about, hey, do you want to talk to this individual? It's going to be a little bit awkward. Well, with a stronger spirit man, you can take the risk to do that.
I love that. Making the body obedient to the spirit.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good way to put that. And I like that you also reference, like, the different forms of fasting. I think some books will talk about like a full fast versus like a partial fast of like only certain types of food. But I think it's also important to like distinguish kind of the difference between like fasting or like abstinence. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of us assume we're like, oh, I'm going to fast from, you know, social media, or I'm going to fast from this. And like, technically that's not really a fast. Like a fast is related to the food. The abstinence is when
something
like,
your body actually needs to survive and like, live and function.
Yeah. The abstaining is that I will abstain from this thing. Now granted, both are very valuable. Mm-hmm. They're both, you know, very beneficial, and I would recommend doing them. It's not that abstaining is like, oh, that's just no good. Like, no, it's just different. They're just not the same thing. There's a different level of hunger that happens. Mm-hmm. And I think you can probably attest to that. Like giving up social media for a week, it's very different than giving up food for a week. Right. There's just a different hunger that happens, a different level of obedience that your body has to endure, you know, for your spirit, you know, to, you know, in order to do that. There's just a lot more that happens there, I think.
Hey, one thing that's coming to my mind, if I'm listening to this and I'm wondering, okay, Ethan, just you threw out like a handful of days, like you felt the Lord was leading you into a fast for X amount of days. That was a year, correct? Like 18 days per year, 20 days per year, something like that, right?
My rhythm is 40 days a year now as I move forward.
Okay, so what was that for you? Obviously, everyone's different. Everyone's relationship with the Lord is unique because we're all, you know, unique children. For you, can you share a little bit about how you discern that time frame and what you needed in order to get to 40 days? Like, how would that work? If I'm starting from a perspective of someone who's like never fasted, can you explain for you at least what your process was like?
Yeah, I think just to be quiet and listen. And I think that we're just in such a content rich society right now. But when are we quiet in our prayer room and
that's
just
amazing.
With open hands and Lord, what do you have for me this year? So, you know, this year it's part of what Multiply Indiana has called us into, 52 days of fasting and prayer. And there's a text message that I receive each morning at 8 a.m. And so to be part of that cohort is something that I was called to do. But the Lord said, I want you to go early this year. So you need to move before anyone else moves. So I started 2 weeks early just because He just made that, he made that apparent on me. But I think, you know, the bride of Christ should encourage fasting as part of our church calendars as we create it. And, you know, invitation, not obligation. There are people with some pretty severe diet restrictions as well. And, you know, I think we have to be honoring of those who don't participate. And, you know, even within my own house, not everyone participates and in the same way.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, if like power or pride were, you know, two of the issues that I had, I probably wouldn't be as involved and it wouldn't be such a big deal for me. But this is a stronghold that's in my life. And I think we need authority over the strongholds in our life. Mm. And we obtain those strongholds through these disciplines that our Father laid out for us 2000 years ago.
Yeah. It's actually interesting. I'm glad you mentioned this, that like the whole, you know, our churches should encourage fasting more to be like a regular rhythm and a regular routine. It reminds me, I was telling Sam about this a little bit, but in the early church, fasting was like normal. Mm. Like it was just something that they did.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus even, he never commands fasting. The only time he like talks about it, he's like, hey, when you fast, you know, and he says, when you fast, it's like assuming you will.
Right.
I'm just like, yeah, that was just normal. And the early church did it often on Wednesdays and Fridays. They would fast sundown every Wednesday and every Friday to kind of line themselves up. Wednesday was when, you know, Judas, you know, first makes the act of betrayal. And then on Friday to coincide with Jesus's death on Friday. Mm. And so Wednesdays and Fridays would be this routine for early Christians. And it got so intense at one point that they actually had to like put restrictions on like when you could fast. They had to tell people like, hey, don't fast on this day. Like, cause like too many people were fasting on like the Sabbath or things like that. They're like, just let's stick to these days. And so they tried to like hold them back a little bit, cause everyone just was like desiring that and craving that. And fasting was just normal.
Yeah.
But what's so hard is that as, you know, as culture moves on, I think what happens is that, you know, we generation after generation will start to see that as more of like an obligation you know, and a rule that holds me back. And you know, especially in our culture where food is just so glorified, you know, and pleasure is glorified.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, why would I say no? Why would
How many restaurants that are now developing apps are coming out with, you get a free dessert just for downloading the app. Like it's nonstop.
And it's one of those things where it's like, why on earth would I not eat? That doesn't make any sense. And so like fasting has just almost like poof, just like gone. And so, I think bringing it back, as a normative thing for churches to embrace, seasonally and, with different rhythms, like, you know, I recently have, wanted to kind of connect to that, you know, old rhythm, and fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And that's been like going very well. And it's just, I don't know, that's something for me that I've like, wow, this is really beautiful how the Lord works in this, of just like this rhythm of saying like, my body will be obedient to the Spirit.
And that's no food for you, Nick? And
That's no food to sundown.
Okay.
And I will do water only, so I will not do coffee either.
Yeah.
Some people will do coffee, but they'll do it like just black so that it technically doesn't like break the fast in your body or something. Like, I don't know how all the like the stuff works with that.
Hey, but I'm a coffee addict, so I'm good with that.
But I choose as someone who, like you, like I'm such a foodie that like, for me, it's like a saying no fully to all foods and all things outside of water that would be like, oh yeah, this tastes good, or like this is like this. For me, that's kind of just like what's necessary to fully get into the obedience and to the spiritual kind of benefit of fasting for me. So
I remember one of my first 40-day fasts, we went on vacation to Gulf Shores, and it was something that I was really, really looking forward to. And it was like, well, do I continue the fast or don't I continue the fast? And the Lord's like, would you allow me to be God of your vacation?
Yeah.
And I'm just
I remember when that happened, when that happened and you told me that, and we both were like,
forget it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
For you on that, Ethan, did that mean that you weren't eating at all in those days, or sent up to sundown, no eating? What was that for?
It was liquids only.
Okay.
During that time. And when you fast, it affects your whole family.
Oh yeah, it does.
And even I remember just first coming to Christ, and like the first time I held my hand in a worship service up, you know, I was like, will my wife think I'm weird right now? You know what I mean? And then you have to like introduce fasting as somebody who's like married and having kids, and now you're starting to follow Christ in a more real way. What does this look like? And she knew the BC Ethan and the AD Ethan. Yeah. You know what I mean? So how do you how do you work this in?
Yeah.
And it was a great vacation. And I did allow him to be Lord of my vacation. So I expanded. You know, and it's like, all right, it's liquids. Well, we'll allow soups on this vacation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So just a little bit more expanded, but still, you know, like this one is like no calorie drinks, no bread, nothing sweet, and no bread.
Yeah.
So it's more restrictive. And
it's more like restrictive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a mix of fasting and abstinence, like merged into one kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In different years, it's different things. I know no coffee for me like is a really big deal. Doing the Daniel fast, that withdrawal was just terrible. But then like the calorie restrictive fast, when you're only 500 600 calories and your body gets cold and you start to shake a little bit, that's like a different different thing. And then everything slows down, you know, and it's almost like you're kind of like in a health crisis, and then your world becomes smaller as things slow down. And then it's like, I don't care about 80% of the things right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's so
all
true.
This other stuff. It's like, no big deal.
Absolutely.
they'll figure it out.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you used the word like slowing down. Medical professionals actually like back this up on how your body kind of like slows down. Mm. The longer you go without food or like, with a minimal amount of food. And you know, a lot of, you know, spiritual fathers will be like, oh, the fasting, you know, and when your body slows down, it kind of sharpens your mind. Mm-hmm. And you get to a point where like, it's like the line between you and God is like getting smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. like more transparent. Yeah. Of just like, you're just, you become so aware. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to someone who had given their story where they went water only for 21 days.
Oh. Wow.
And like insane. Like I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Like I want to hear about this. And the guy had said like around day 14, it was like, he saw God everywhere. Mm. He was like, suddenly like I would see the wind blow in the trees. And I just thought about how beautiful God is. And like something that I just am not normally aware of, but because I'm saying no to food, and I would transfer, he used the language of like, every time I would have a bodily hunger, I would say, Lord, I hunger for your spirit more than I hunger for the food. Mm. Mm. And it was like saying that prayer every time. And as he would do that, he had found that like, you know, he started to just become more aware of him.
Yeah.
And it was just this beautiful like sharpness and awareness of the Spirit of God moving. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Yeah, like, so cool how we can, yeah. Like that ability to just like slow down. I can only imagine how Jesus felt in the 40 days that he didn't eat when he was out in the wilderness. And I can just imagine like at the end of those 40 days, just like the nearness and intimacy with God that Jesus experienced. And I had like, it would be silly of us to be like, oh yeah, that didn't contribute at all to his ministry. That absolutely did. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine how much those 40 days contributed to what he did.
Yeah. And like most biblical things, it's kind of like flip it upside down. Mm. During a fast, things move faster as
yes.
well. Like it's a highly formative stage
yes.
and there's like a shaking
yeah.
that occurs. So
yeah. And especially for you with some of your, the restrictive fasts that are like lower, like I find that it's, if I do a sun up to sundown fast, or I guess technically a sundown to sundown, I'll not eat after dinner, to the next time I have dinner. But I've noticed that if I eat breakfast and then fast the rest of the day, that's actually harder mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you eat a little bit and then it like makes you hungry. It makes you hungrier. And so it's almost 100%. Like, it's almost one of those things where it's easier not to.
Yeah.
But no, that's so true of just like it slows you down, but also like feels like whew, things kind of speed up and the formation kind of speeds mm-hmm. up and your awareness of God speeds up. I've even noticed even just doing like non-extended ones, but just like, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah.
I've even noticed that saying that prayer of I hunger God's spirit more than I hunger the food mm-hmm. Has allowed me to focus in on my desire for God's spirit.
Yeah.
You know, because how often during our day do we say, Lord, I desire your spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you say that several times throughout mm-hmm. the day and you're also feeling hungry, and so you're just like constantly thinking about it, the more you just naturally think, wow, I desire God. I desire God. I desire God.
Yeah.
And just that in and of itself.
He's waiting for our invitation.
Yes. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Look at that cross. And
yeah.
He died with a posture of invitation.
Wow. Yeah.
Come to me.
Wow. Just come to me. Yeah. Mm, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we say, God, I desire your spirit, it's like, that's
Oosh.
It. Yeah. So he's like, that's what I've been waiting for. Yeah. You know, like we're like, well,
I created you for this, man.
Right. I created you to desire me.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're not numb anymore.
Yes,
you
know?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. No, I love that.
Yeah. No, I forgot. There was I'm blanking on the name of the psychologist, but the person basically said, all of us are born into this world looking for someone looking for us.
Mm.
And
that's
I'm just
great.
Like, that's so God. It's like, oh my gosh, you finally, yes,
yeah.
You want more of my spirit. Here you go. Yeah. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. So yeah. No, that's so good. We're looking for someone looking for us, looking for God. It would be the best way to put that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I do want to address one thing. You know, obviously fasting is incredibly important. It's beautiful. It does amazing things. you know, the spirit does crazy things with it, but I do want to address for just a lot of our listeners, because our culture is just not, you know, for fasting. Fasting is just, we like to feast a lot more than we like to fast. Mm. You know, of why don't we fast? You know, like, is there, maybe we can address some of like the fears and things that might come to our minds initially of like, Why don't I fast? Like vacation would be a great one.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, I would fast, but I have lunch plans with someone and I don't want to, you know, food is a very social thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Or what would you guys say to the person who has a regular workout routine and would say, well, Ethan, Nick, I've got this 80 minute workout of I run 5 miles mm-hmm. and I lift all these weights. I can't do that on an empty stomach. Yeah. I'm going to get sick.
Yeah.
And if I cut that workout out, then I'm not going to be as healthy and everything. So what might you offer to the person who might be thinking that? Because I know we have a lot of runners at this church.
Yeah. Yeah. I would ask them to look vertically instead of horizontally. You know Ooh. What I mean? Mm. All of my sanctification has not come from the words of failed and broken men or women. It's come from directly from the Holy Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would just say, you know, get into a posture of listening and ask what the Lord is leading you to. Mm. And, you know, life is a journey. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, hey, man, you're like 33. You have like 50 more fasts left to do. You know what I mean? So like in this season of your life, how might you incorporate something? You mm. know, I mean, desserts, like what things might you admit or omit or modify from your diet to make what comes into your body, you know, obedient to Christ.
I also like what you just added there, Ethan, with what might you modify? Because I think the fear of like, you know, the three of us have jokingly talked about that early practice of people going, all right, hey, stop eating or like, you know, enjoy the Sabbath, like yeah. stop holding yourself off, stop fasting every single day. But I think what I appreciate, Ethan, so much about what you just said is I think there can be a temptation to think of fasting as it's a strict legalistic, know this, know that, and it's black and white. But yeah. you just added really beautifully, I think the heart of the Spirit, and that's gray. You
yeah.
know, there's some reality there that you can
yeah.
move
He'll
with.
Customize it for you
right.
for your phase of this life.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
you know, hopefully that as time goes on and we move from glory to glory to glory, the amount of clarity and the amount of intimacy would increase. But I would just encourage people to try it. And I think a lot of us want to keep our testimonies private, you know, and like, hey, a lender is going to take me out for lunch and I'm going to be goofy because I'm just going to get miso soup.
Yeah. Or I'm just going to like, they're going to be like, hey, what do you want to eat? And I'm going to be like, I want water.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
But, you know, yeah. hey, I'm fasting now. Can we go for a walk instead? You yeah. know what I mean? And how much, you know, I think like sitting is the new smoking. So I think we should be encouraging Whoa. People to Ooh. Like.
That was a statement yeah. right there. Wow. Come on. Wow. That's good.
Well, I think they'll look at us and we'll just, you know, hey, man, you guys are all pew potatoes. Why aren't you moving your yeah. bodies? You know, and even as we at Mercy Road Northwest, we want to give half of the income that comes in. I yeah. actually want our pastors to be out in the community
yeah.
50% of the time mm. as well, you know? So
yeah. wow.
why are we, you know, how many coffees can you physically have? Like, let's go to a park so and true, move right? our bodies. So you know?
10 coffee meetings in a day and you're just like spazzing and shaking all day right? long.
That needs to change. Yeah. yeah. So
oh,
we're
going
to go on a walk at Clear Creek together.
Yeah. 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 So true. That's so good. Oh my
so
goodness.
So then Ethan, on the shaking part, maybe something else someone might be thinking about, and admittedly I'm relatively newer to taking fasting a little bit more seriously as well in my own journey, but maybe someone's going to say, well, I don't want to have a headache all day long, I've got a whole bunch of business meetings, or I don't want to be in places where my stomach's growling and then it's embarrassing and then I can't focus and I feel dizzy and, you know, I have to stay focused. What might you offer to someone who's thinking that?
Just for them to ask the question, what's more important?
Yep.
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah.
what's more important? Like, my job is the most important thing, or my faith
yeah.
is the most important
yeah.
thing.
My, That's good. My intimacy with the Spirit of God. I would second that. I would say, even with the first question of like, what about my workout routine? It really comes down to like, what do you prioritize? Yeah. You know what I mean? If you feel that God is saying, you know, if you feel like God is very serious about fasting, and you feel like, you know, man, I should make this as serious as God makes it, then maybe we should try and sacrifice some things in order to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's worth the sacrifice of trying to figure out, well, what do I need to change?
So feeling and hearing the Spirit move is more important than hearing the yeah. lunk alarm at Planet Fitness go off when you're working out then.
Yeah, 100%. And I would also say, one thing with like the focusing, And I've heard some people differ on this one, but I actually focus better when I fast.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more focused on one thing. Mm. Granted, you know, the work that I do is all like, it's all listening to the Spirit of God. So, yeah. You know, I like to fast when I sermon prep, because that's just, it enhances the ability to listen, the ability to like read the text and let God speak to me through it. Granted, I don't know what it's like to fast and crunch numbers.
But it's hard. It is hard. Yeah. But who is our trust and who's our faith in, you know, and honestly, like if my team knows that I'm on a calorie deficient, fast, they're going to stand up and they're going to take some of the weight off of my shoulders.
Oh, that's really good.
And then
that's
just
awesome.
To know that at the end of the day, the Lord is in control. Like that is it. That is a fact, you know? And if he can't make up for us while we're fasting, then we're believing in the wrong eternity, right?
Yeah.
There is very little faith, very little trust.
Yeah.
If we can't trust him with our work, if we can't trust him with our family, if we can't trust him with our own health.
Yeah. That's a huge point too. Is the trust piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've met people that were like, you know, I think of people in certain situations where they're like fasting just isn't ideal, or fasting is, you know, doesn't really work with like my health needs right now or different things like that. You know, and a lot of that is true. I mean, I would definitely recommend like talk to your doctor. If you have like fears or concerns about different things that are in your life right now, talk to a doctor and be like, hey, what is like, what's good? You know, like pregnant women should not go 21 days without eating. That's not a good idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that is not the time to do a 21 day fast.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to be aware of those types of things. But at some level we need to understand, like, do we trust God with our bodies? Do we trust God with our work and with, the different things in our lives that we're willing to say, I'm going to say no to this and trust that God will move. Mm. It's very similar to Sabbath. I think, you know, we freak out about Sabbath because we're like, if I don't work for a day, how am I going to get anything done? Well, do you trust God with your to-do list? Mm-hmm. Like, do you trust God with your schedule enough, you know, to be like, life is still worth living if I don't work for a day. You know what I mean? Like there's still good things that can happen there. And trusting that God will work in that and work for the good in that. So I think fasting and trust go hand in hand in a lot of ways of that self-denial piece.
Yeah. So this question just came to me as well, you know, here at our church, but also if anyone's listening from a different church here, we've got a lot of families in the life of our church. So what might, as two fathers and husbands here that I'm talking to in the room, how might you guys integrate the practice of how do you guys integrate the practice of fasting with your families?
Mm.
And how might you maybe encourage our listeners to do that with their families?
I'll let you answer that first because you have like grown kids. I have a 2-year-old. Like fasting is not really a thing for a 2-year-old.
Jude's like more mac and cheese.
That dude eats all day. What does that look like?
Well,
family wise,
invitation, not obligation.
Absolutely,
right.
That is
100%.
And God has no grandchildren.
Yeah,
you know, and He didn't encourage me or prompt me until I was 35, 36, 37.
Mm.
But I think if you're, you know, I think more is caught than taught at home. And so if they see you going through a season, they're going to see that.
Yeah.
You know what
They'll
I mean?
Notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, am I going to dictate that my 15-year-old not eats? No. Totally up to them.
It's much. Yeah. Well, that's a huge thing too, because you know, obviously we're not obligated to fast. No, we voluntarily do that thing.
Yeah,
and that's a huge part of it. I mean, the whole point of fasting is self-denial, but if you're obligated to do it, that's not self-denial. Like you didn't choose to do that. I think that's a really good one, is invitation of saying, you know, for your sake of like, oh, you know, hey girls, would you like to fast with me in this season?
You could join me in this journey your own way.
Yeah. And I'd like, let's talk about it and let's do this together. I think there's a lot of beauty in that. Maddie and I fast on the same days. Right now she does Wednesdays. She doesn't do Fridays as well. But that's just one of those things that like everyone is at a different point with different things, you know? And so it's like, you know, it's better to do this and this and this. And, you know, this day works better for me because I have different meetings with different people. Like, that's one of the reasons that I don't fast on like Mondays. Cause if I ever like have a lunch meeting or something, it would probably end up being on a Monday. And so it's like, I'm going to do it on a Wednesday and just not plan meetings on that day, like lunch meetings, you know? And so it's worked around my schedule in certain ways.
Yeah.
I would also say if you want to invite your kids into it or your family into it, and they're not really like, you know, they're kind of anxious about the whole, like, I'm going to go all in kind of thing. You can do the calorie differences stuff, but you can also just fast from one meal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's a huge thing too. And that's a great first step. You know, if you've never fasted before, it can be a lot to just like go all in like that. And so fasting, just starting like one meal at a time and being like, I'm not going to eat lunch today. And the time that I was going to spend eating lunch, I'm going to go pray.
Yeah. Or hey, fast breakfast before you come here to Northwest, right. Pray together as a family, come here and worship, and then break it by going out with people afterward.
Yeah. That's a great routine.
Be a great, easy thing, I think, for our listeners to integrate immediately.
That would be a beautiful rhythm of fast on a Sunday morning and then break it with your community of friends and believers after gathering on Sunday morning.
Maybe we should invite people to do that at our next community.
Yeah, we should. Let's do that. Oh my goodness. That's going to be a thing. I'm going to put it in the works. We're going to make it happen. And before communion meal next month, we're going to fast on Sunday morning.
I love it.
Come on. That's going to be good. But no, I would say that it goes hand in hand with, I said this last week, and it's probably even more true with this, with fasting, of walk before you run.
Yeah.
You know, start where you are, not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would love one day to be able to do like a 21 day water only. What a crazy experience that must be. I'm not ready to do that right now.
Sure.
I'm not there.
Well, same reason if someone said, Sam, go run a 20 mile marathon, I'd be like,
You have to train. Your body has to get used to it. You have to, you know, walk before you're able to run. And so if you've never fasted before, start with a meal. Or start with like some subtle restrictions and start with different things and work your way to whatever your goal is with fasting, whatever that looks like. And I would say in all of those things, listen to the Spirit. On just like, what is the Spirit calling you into? Because if there's a very clear, you know, notion of, you know, the Spirit's calling you to this particular extended fast or whatever it is, like, I think it's important to kind of respond to that.
And when you make a decision, you cut off other options.
You know, one yes is a thousand no's.
Yeah, exactly. So when you do make that decision, I would say just stick with it.
Stick with it.
And you know, if you don't make it, no guilt or shame, because those are the tools of the evil one.
Yeah.
But you know, as much as we can, let our yes be yes and our no be no. Mm. And when we make a commitment, we stick with it.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, that would be the best.
Yeah. That's super huge too, of the, you know, don't have the guilt or shame. If you're like, I'm not going to eat today. And then you like have a little snack because you forgot or something. And then you're like, oh shoot, I wasn't supposed to eat. Don't be like, oh, well, I guess that's over and I'll just give up now. Like, no, don't give up. Just pick up where you left off. You know, like, it's not like the Spirit of God was just like, ah, it ruined it. It's over. I'm not even listening to you anymore. Like,
I think it's funny that you said that because I literally did that today. Like, fasted the first part of the day, and then I started to pick up one of those toxic waste candies, like the sour ones that we have in the office. And I opened it up, and I was like, wait, no, and I threw it in a coffee cup.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I've done that before, where I just like wasn't thinking, and I started eating, and I'm like, oh shoot, I was fasting. Whoops. You know, like, I totally forgot. And you're like, that's just one of those moments where you say like, oh Lord, forgive me. I'm going to like recenter myself and then continue on. Like, God doesn't hold that against you. It's not in his character to be like, oh, well, I'm not going to listen to you the rest of the day. Your fast is useless now. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, you know, it's just like, keep going, you know, keep going. Don't just give up. You know, that just makes life way more discouraging. You know, when you bail, when you like make some sort of mistake. And so, yeah, just keep going. Have a light heart about it.
Amen.
A very, you know, Christ's yoke is easy. And so if we start to feel burdens from things that are unnecessarily heavy, we can start to realize that maybe this isn't from Christ, you know, that this burden is making me more discouraged, more resentful, more frustrated. It's not making me more joyful. It's not making me more loving. Well, then maybe we should think about what's going on here and what's going wrong, because Christ doesn't produce those things. The Spirit of God doesn't produce those types of things. And so I just think it's important to remember that as we go. You know, spiritual disciplines are only as good insofar as they lead us to Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
So if our fasting is not bringing us to Jesus, then it's not doing anything. Yeah. It's not doing anything worth our time, because Jesus is the goal every time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I would say on that one. Well, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up the conversation. So let's do some final encouragements, just like a one note that you would give to our people. I mean, obviously we've given a lot of advice and things to talk about. But what would be your guys' final encouragements? We'll start with Sam and then we'll go around.
Yeah, I'd just say start small and be realistic and don't overthink it. That would really be it. I think I fall into the temptation where, even as a pastor, but even before then, where I wanted to present myself like I had things together and I totally just don't.
Right.
So I think the temptation can be, oh, well, man, if I have to do fasting, which, by the way, you don't have to, it's an invitation and it's beautiful, it's into something deeper. But if I'm going to do fasting, then I've got to do it to this caliber and this level. And I got to do it like Ethan and like Nick and like all these, that's not true.
That's really good.
Just simple.
Yeah.
Be simple. If it's one meal, great. Take that time, 15, 20 minutes that you normally eat, pray, journal, listen to worship music, worship. Just enjoy
silence,
that. Yeah. Just enjoy that one meal. If you want to do a whole day and then break it at sundown, go ahead and do that too. You guys also talked about little restrictions of, okay, well, maybe I might not eat, I don't know, red meat this week, then okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's like a big part of your diet, I would say that too. It's just like, don't take out something that's like not actually affecting you at all.
Right.
At that point, it kind of defeats the purpose. But I do like what you said. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it.
That's preaching to myself for sure, you know, too.
Do what you need to do. And I would even like to piggyback off that a little bit. I like this last Friday, I ended up not fasting. It's okay. Yeah. Like, it's okay. It's not it's not the end of the world. It's not like something to beat yourself up over. It's not something to be like, oh man, I'm not the perfect Christian. Like, you know, like, you know, we shouldn't overthink it. So that's really good. Ethan, what about you?
Just that obedience leads to greater intimacy. And with that intimacy comes formation, healing, and reconciliation.
Wow.
So just get ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, get ready, because there will be fruit produced 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So
that's
if you're
so good.
You know, hey, I can't really hear the Lord right now, it's just, well, let's start with obedience and then let that obedience, he calls us to obedience and not to outcomes, right?
Yeah.
So
just
do it, you know.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah. Buckle up and get ready.
Yeah.
And when you get hangry, that's normal.
Yes.
You know,
you will get hangry.
That's a real thing. And it's okay. And you will survive.
Yeah.
You know, and it is the worst on the front end of it.
Yes,
you know, like
that's
the detox is real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The front end of the fasting.
The
is
first
hard.
3 days, like, no, yeah. It's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's you know, to add to that, that's super huge of like the, when you get hangry, don't be like, ah, this is not making me a good person, so I'm going to like quit or anything like that. But instead invite Jesus into that, like invite the Spirit of God into your messiness and into your like, man, like, Lord, how can you make me more patient even without food? How can you make me more patient even without my desires being met?
When you get hangry, remember you're being made holy.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. That's good. And that's a little statement right there. No, that's beautiful. Obedience leads to intimacy. Intimacy to, what did you say? It was
formation, healing, and reconciliation.
So good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's amazing. My final encouragement would be, keep God at the center.
Yeah.
The goal is not to be able to fast for a long time. The goal is to be with Jesus. The goal is not to give up any certain thing. The goal is to be with Jesus. And so, as long as we keep him at the center, then we'll see the fruit of this practice. Just like with anything else. And you know, I would also just include everything that you guys said is just like the take it slow and the, you know, the front end is will be difficult. But just inviting him into that. That's really the big thing. I'm going to put some recommended resources in the show notes. If you want to dig deeper, maybe look into fasting and just kind of learn more about it or things like that. We actually have a fasting practice as a course that we do here at Northwest that we're finishing it up right now, but we'll do another one someday. And so I'll make sure that that's, you know, put out there, communicated. So if people want to do that, they can. But yeah, so I'll put that in the show notes so that we can see those things.
Word.
Well, if you have any questions or things you want us to talk about on the podcast, please let us know. You can do that by going to our media tab on our website at mercyroadnw.com. And on our website, you'll also be able to find more details and information about our community. And you can get a hold of me or Sam directly as well. If you go to the staff page, you'll find our emails there. So thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.